Okay, all the commissioners are here, and I will call the meeting to order. Our first item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes from the July 5 meeting.
I can make a motion to approve those, Doug.
I'll second that. Any discussion regarding the minutes? Then all in favor say aye. Aye, Brad.
Aye, Doug.
Matt, I could vote aye.
Okay. Then we have, as I recall, about $22 million in loans.
Yeah, I got a big deal today. I thought it was exciting.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, these loans have all been approved for public purpose by the Department of Justice.
Thank you.
I'd make a motion to approve the 20, how many, what's the number?
17 loans.
17 loans. Doug.
I'll second that. And is there any discussion regarding the loans?
Obviously, I'm going to be voting no, but the one that kind of stands out to me is a big one at the end. And my topic is the same I brought up to you before. It's these energy efficiency loans, which we still have to put on an agenda. I know Doug asked for that. We haven't added it to an agenda lately. But I guess I'll just point out, I did call Wisconsin Rapids to figure out how expensive this was. And their total debt right now is $5.7 million. Their total debt. And so they're going into a debt of $11.5 million, which is over double their current debt right now. And nobody approved this. No voter referendum. And I have a real problem with that. It's in both houses, the Assembly and the Senate. They plan to keep it. And that will be law hopefully soon. So when I talked to the guy, he said he specifically knew that. And he's trying to get it in before that possible. I will just say the only thing that they have to do, I don't know if you're aware of this, I made a copy for both you gentlemen, that is the public notice that they have to do. They do it in a local paper. And basically it says that to actually enforce and make a referendum possible, they have to proactively, the constituents in that district have to go out and do a petition. And so it's not going to happen. It doesn't happen. And that's why they did it in the bill. But I can tell you that the vast majority of people in Wisconsin Rapids have no clue this is going to happen. And we're doubling their debt without them knowing. So if I voted for regular loans, I would be voting no on this one specifically. But I made my point. You guys disagreed with me.
To be clear, we're not doubling their debt. They're doubling their debt. We're the banks. We make the loans if it is for a proper public purpose. And there's and when we think about proper public purpose, we're not focusing on the policy behind it. It's just simply whether it meets the statutory obligations. It does. I think we go down a dangerous path that leaves us spending an awful lot of time assessing each loan and takes us far outside of our responsibilities or authority if we start assessing who should get which loans.
Well, you said that.
I agree with your position.
Go ahead, Doug.
How much is the loan?
It's $11.5 million.
$11 million, okay.
I guess all I say is, if we didn't approve this, I don't believe they would get the loan. So they won't have any other opportunities. The legislature is, obviously you all read in the paper where they can't come together and make an agreement, but they should have passed the budget by now. If that budget provision were in it, this loan would not be possible. So I guess all I'm saying is it could have delayed it, but we did one last time at St. Francis, and you guys approved it. I'm opposed to it. We can move on.
Okay. Then I know you're a no vote. I'll vote aye.
Doug, I vote aye.
Okay. Then we didn't have any old business.
Actually, I do have some, I think.
Okay.
With your permission. I wanted to report briefly on the Land Commission conference that I attended. There was some...
I heard you got quite an ovation after your speech.
Oh, you heard that. Okay. I kept good notes on everything, and I could talk at some length, but unless you wish me to report on all the different workshops and sessions that I attended, I'll give you a brief comment and then more if you want to hear details. The brief comment is... it was very well received that I was there. There was sort of just everybody I talked to, including a number of people who I've known from the past, but also some new representatives of different states, they were very pleased that a commissioner attended and gave a report. I gave the report under the roll call, in which I reported on who you guys are, the rest of the commission, and what we've been doing, and the progress we made on a number of subjects, and that was well received. I attended almost every session, except there were a couple that where there were two sessions, and I talked to Tom and see whether he was going to one, and he was going to one, so I went to the other one. Some of the material is not relevant to us. Some of it was quite complicated. There was an asset management I thought was useful, and there was one on communication, but I didn't see how that would be particularly helpful to us, although maybe it could have been. So it was a good thing that I attended, well received. As Brad pointed out, they gave me a little recognition, and I made a little talk thanking them for it, and it was well received. I have another item under old business or under miscellaneous, I'm not sure, and that is I've become quite concerned with Matt's communication with legislators, and I've followed some of it. I may not have seen all of it, but I'm not sure if those communications are appropriate, and they might be, they might not, but I am very... I feel they may not be appropriate communicating to the legislators as one of the board members of this commission about the actions of this commission. So what I would like to do officially, publicly, is request from you copies of all the communications, both emails, written or text messages that you have sent to legislators in the last, say, 3 months.
Well, I guess I'd say this. In regards to, there's only one email that I sent in regards to the loan package today. Or not the loan, what are we filing? Purchase up today. But we can talk about this at the right time when we get to the, what was that, number six? But I don't think you're going to stop free speech. I think I have a right to contact people and talk to people, do I not?
Do you say you had no communication with legislators?
That's not what I said. I said I sent... Maybe one, two, I don't know what emails I sent, but the point is, you said you have concerns that I'm talking to people outside this board.
Communicating, take off talking, communicating.
Well, communicating. So you're saying I'm not allowed to communicate with other people?
It depends on what you're saying. I would like to see what you're saying, and if it may be appropriate, but I have real concerns that it may not be appropriate when it involves this board's business.
I specifically sent an email to a few legislators in regards to this bill, or this purchase, I can call it a bill, and I can easily send that to you when I get back. It's not a big deal.
But that's all in the last few months?
I've communicated with other people about a specific, I only found out about this a few weeks ago.
But about anything involving the board, I would like to see any...
I don't know. That's pretty broad, but yeah. I guess my point is, I'm opposed to the purchase, and we're skipping ahead, so I'd rather just wait for number six, if that makes more sense.
Because I got an email today from four or six legislators,
mm-hmm.
And telling us how to vote.
Okay.
That's the first time in 30 years that's ever happened. I assume that's happened because I'm talking to
legislators. Well, I see.
And I want to know what you're telling them.
Well, I've told them what I put in my public press releases, that I don't support these. I'm very open about this, Doug. I mean, we're skipping ahead here, but I don't support any land purchase, period. That's the crux of it.
So you sent them copies of a press release? That's all you did?
No, I told you I sent an email. I told you I sent an email saying that I'm opposed to this. I'm worried it's going to pass next Tuesday. I believe I sent that a week ago. Today is Tuesday, Friday.
That's the only email? You haven't sent one?
I'm sure I've communicated in different ways,
if you're willing to share.
Well, okay, I'll send you what I'm going to send you, and then we can deal with it after that. But
if that doesn't make sense to me, then I'll do an open record.
That's fine, but my question is...
And then you'll have to respond to an open record.
It's a public record. Everybody's public records are public records. That's fine. My concern, Doug, is, and this comes from the staff as well here, Jonathan over there sent multiple times asking to... see who I'm talking to. I have every right to talk to people. I don't know what you're trying to imply here. So if I see a legislator, just as if you saw a legislator or a member of the public, I'm not allowed to speak to those people? I mean, that's... I don't know what your concern is.
It depends on whether you're representing...
What I'm representing, Doug, what I'm saying is exactly what I'm saying to you now. You can read my last two press releases. I couldn't be more opposed to land purchases, period. That's the crux of it. There's not much past that. I don't support them. I don't want to see them. I think they're a waste of money, and I think we're not making good enough money. That's the argument. There's no secret hidden argument.
Okay, you get my point, and I'll see what you can provide.
Well, and I mean, as an example, I remember once when I called a few of the loan places, you guys didn't like me calling that, and I remember at the time, you know, I can call people. I mean, whether you like it or not is a separate issue. But I have every right to work against something that we're voting on. And the fact that a few legislators, of course, I've talked to those people. I got the same letter. I agree with everything they said in there. They just said don't vote for something. There's nothing wrong with that.
But they obviously sent that letter because you communicated to them.
I can't make other – well, they saw my
– You asked them to send that letter.
I sent a press release saying this is a bad deal, and they agree with me. I mean, I'm sure if your position was something different – okay, give you an example. Let's say all of our public lands are open to the public. Nobody's changing that. I'm saying to change that. Let's say for some reason this board was going to vote and say we're going to close public lands. I'm assuming a few legislators in that building would send an email saying, please don't do that. And you might have said, wow, look what they're doing. They need to stop that. There's nothing wrong with that.
All right. Well, I won't belabor it at this point, but I look forward to seeing what you're willing to tell me that you've been saying to legislators. Yeah, I could ask the legislators.
I'm happy to share, but my only point is I just don't support them. I mean, it's a pretty clear position. I don't think anybody doesn't understand where I'm coming from.
All right, I won't take more time.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for indulging me.
Okay.
New business.
So, we have item number 4, a proposed land bank sale, and that would be on the attachment here.
Mr. Kennedy, so, make a comment on that?
Yes.
I just want to call the board's attention to these three sales, proposed sales. We've got our real estate specialist is undertaking a process, a comprehensive process to try and ferret out potential buyers for parcels that we have no productive use for. I think two of these three, at least, two of these three do not have access. And so when we contact potential neighbors of parcels that are isolated, and we get a defined interest from one or more of the landowners adjacent, then and only then will we do an appraisal, because it doesn't make sense to appraise property that we don't have an active buyer. Appraisals are expensive. So these three parcels, Gander Lake Road has frontage. It appraised at $59,000. It's, I'm sure, going to sell. The other one doesn't have any frontage, and it's swamped, and it appraised at only $14,000. And the third one appraised at $32,000. But the only reason we're bringing these to you is that it's part of an ongoing process. We're trying to find ways to more aggressively market land that is isolated, that is not part of our mission.
That makes great sense. And we found buyers for these three.
We found people who expressed strong interest in buying sufficient for us to say, okay, we'll get the appraisal.
So we don't have a sale yet.
No, this is not a sale. This is
a proposed sale.
This is a proposed sale. We've got the appraisals because of the expressed interest.
Yeah, okay.
And now they'll go to a sealed bid process.
Okay. So this is only proposed. I got it. Thank you.
Well, we need your approval to put it out for a sealed bid.
Yep, got it. Thank you.
Should we vote on 4 and 5 together? Okay.
Well, I don't think there's any vote required.
I'll make a motion for 4 and 5 for the two land sales to be.
I don't understand why we have to vote, Tom. We're not voting to do anything except, say, continue the process of seeing if there's any buyers for land.
We've identified potential buyers. We've appraised the property. And now we're ready to do a sealed bid public auction to actually
sell. We have to approve doing that?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yep.
In the past, we've always approved that. I know we approve a sale, but I didn't know we had to approve you going to a sealed bid process.
We've only done this about 5 times, I think, since I've been here.
Prior to my coming here, it hadn't been done, I believe, since 1963 was the last time we actually were selling things to the public. And so what we did when we started doing this was we would pick a number of parcels in the same county, get them appraised and offer them all, but we didn't have as many people that actually bid on them, and so we've been much more selective about which ones.
I understand that, yeah. But you say we have to vote on this, fine. Well, I don't object to it. I was surprised by it. Okay. Did someone make a motion to approve?
Yes, Matt did.
I'll second that motion.
All right. Then the vote then is on the motion to approve putting up for sealed bid for sale the land described in items number 4 and 5. And any other discussion on that?
I have to say that item number 5 isn't going to be a sealed bid. I contacted the Department Department of Military Affairs and said, you guys have been using this land since the 1880s. They even built a fence around it and said, we really would like to sell that. And they were reluctant. I told them, well, I guess we're going to have to advertise it then. And then they became less reluctant. So that is not a sealed bid because it's a direct sale to government unit.
Okay.
So it's only proposed, right? It's not
we've got a deal with them. What you're doing here is you're authorizing us to sell this land. So you've got the right as a board to withhold land from sale.
Yeah.
If you fail to authorize it,
I understand that
we can't move ahead with the sale.
Number 5, where the buyer's already agreed on the price and everything.
Yeah, well, that'll be pretty much a final action here.
All right, so let's just do number 4 and move on. I make a motion for number 4 to approve it for you guys to put it to public sale.
I seconded that.
Okay.
Well, it is seconded now, then. We'll consider it. And then, any other discussion on item 4? All right. All in favor, say aye. Aye, Brad.
Aye, Doug.
Aye, Matt.
Okay. Then item 5, we already discussed it.
I'll make a motion that we allow the staff to proceed on developing this proposed sale to Military Affairs.
I'll second it.
And any other discussion? In favor, say aye. Aye, Brad.
Aye, Doug.
Aye, Matt.
Okay. Then that is approved. Then we're on to item 6, kind of the meat of our meeting here, I expect. Can we begin a little bit with a history of what's happening here? As I understand, American Timberland isn't going out of business. They just don't want to keep owning the land.
Correct. American Timber, not unlike other timber companies, Weyerhaeuser, Potlatch, Plum Creek, have undertaken a policy over the last couple of decades, it's accelerating, to sell timberland rather than own it. They're international companies in all regards, and they figure they can access timber wherever they want it. They're also dealing, this is my opinion, but I think it's accurate, with the quarterly board reports with their shareholders. And owning timber is not consonant with their quarterly reports. That's an opinion. American Timber.
It's an asset they won't realize for some time when they can next harvest. Or?
Right. What they're in the business of is really logging and causing timber to be harvested and sold. And where in the past, Weyerhaeuser is a good example, they owned like a vertical system of supply and sale. With that going away, increasingly land in the northern part of the state has been parceled up, and you lose the forest, to a high degree. So this is not unlike that. This is part of a pattern. American Timber, I believe, was trying to sell how many thousand acres, Tom?
9,000
acres. We declined to do that about a year and a half or 2 years ago. And then we became aware that they may be willing to sell less, and approached them through through our staff, and they indicated that it would sell less. We identified this parcel because it blocked well with existing land. It opened access to land that we presently don't have access to, and it's going to, if the Forest Service swap goes through, we'll have a contiguous parcel of about 2,300 acres, which will.
What's the benefit to having a contiguous parcel?
Well, it's a lot less expensive to manage timberland when you have larger parcels. First of all, you get a higher price because loggers have the same organizational cost for a small parcel virtually as they do for a larger parcel, so they bid higher. We don't have line charges to the degree that we do. If you're in the middle of a woods and there's a 80 acres or 40 acres in the middle of your parcel that you don't own, there's triple damages for cutting the neighbor's timber. You know, so it's really advantageous to have contiguous parcels that are easily defined. And then thirdly is what I already mentioned, this issue of forest fragmentation. I've been talking about blocking before, but forest fragmentation. The seller has indicated clearly to us that if we are unable to buy this or they can't sell it soon, they will heavily cut it and parcel it and sell it off, in which case that will be lost for the woodshed in northern Wisconsin for a generation. And that's really what our view of it is.
A quick comment on that. Now, Doug, I'm assuming that fragmentation is a big issue for you. It's a concern. All I say is I think that's a DNR issue. I understand the concept of fragmentation. I'm just saying our board is to make money for our children. We do not have an issue. It does not say anywhere that we're supposed to make sure the forests stay big. We don't let private companies sell it. If they can sell it privately and make more money, I don't care. It doesn't matter to me one bit. I don't see my job on this board is something the DNR should be doing. If this parcel is deemed that they wanted to do that, I think it would make sense for the DNR to try to acquire it under stewardship or whatever. They have a process. They have a DNR board. I'm only saying I have other reasons to be opposed to it, but that's one of the reasons listed. I understand it's in the statute, but fragmentation is, I just don't understand. It's not our job. I don't believe
it. Our responsibility is to be good stewards of the assets that we manage for our beneficiaries.
We don't own that.
And our assets include land and the trust fund. And in order to manage our assets effectively, as Jonathan was just outlining with the cost savings we've experienced and the access to our land remains worthless to us. Some of this upland forest land that has valuable timber on it, we can't access based on the way things are
now. Well, this is all access right here. This is those two little ones. These are all blocked already together.
Yeah, sorry.
So,
Mr. Chairman, I did do an economic analysis of the parcel. The reason for buying this, frankly, is to make money. And meet the land banking criteria. We got some extra copies if people in the audience want them. Doug? And so, unlike in the past, because I wasn't here, our view of this parcel is that it needs to meet the criteria of the land banking, and in this case, this one is unusual because it meets all three criteria and then a fourth. But in addition, we did a cost-benefit analysis. One of the reasons, Matt, I was mistaken about the appraisal price is I requested that we add on an assessment of any improvement in value to us by virtue of access, gaining access, and I also added an appraisal of the economic value of the property. This property has $985,000 worth of standing timber on it today in value. Of course, we're not going to cut all of that. But the analysis by Compass Land shows the kind of return that we can expect from this. And this,
no, I understand.
I view this as an asset. We view this as an asset as part of our portfolio, it's going to be something that will generate income and appreciate a value.
You said that the company that...
If I can interrupt,
sure, go ahead.
I would like, before I call the question, which I'm tempted to do fairly soon, because I know clearly your opinions, and I respect your right to have.
Sure.
Before I do that, in respect to the chair, I would like to see if you have any comments before I call the question, which shuts off debate, as you know.
Well, I guess it would be nice if I could at least make a few points.
You've made quite a few.
I have not made hardly any. On this specific...
The chair has the right to run this meeting. I just wanted to make sure he gets a chance to speak.
Well, I have a few specific questions about the specific parcel. One of the things that we're trying to do...
Wait, let me ask a question. Robert's rules. Do we have a motion to do this yet?
No. I'll
make a motion to do it so we can discuss it.
Okay.
We've been breaking the rules here.
I think we can just discuss it. I don't think there's a rule that we have to...
I had asked Jonathan to just outline for us what we're looking at here. So we can proceed that way, too. And I'll second the motion so that we can then proceed to all this engaging in discussion about it, and that's fine.
All right. Well, if you look at the specifics.
I don't want to get caught up in that.
The parliamentary, yeah. If you look at the specifics of the, what we're buying, okay, this is 1,000 acres to make this 100 acres better. Partly what we're supposedly doing to unlock the value. So 10 times we're buying of the land. Okay, first, my biggest concern is I don't believe we should be constitutionally doing it. That's a separate issue.
You know that.
Okay, but that's my main reason.
Now, I'm going to interrupt you on that because you keep talking about the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
The Constitution provides that we will manage our assets the way the legislature directs us to do so. The legislature directed us under Speaker Jensen's leadership to sell land, put it in land bank authority, and use that money, in a land bank account, and use that money to do one thing, buy other land that benefits our beneficiaries.
And this
land
does.
We're doing exactly what the Constitution directs. Exactly.
Well, for 150 years, they never bought a single parcel of land. So before land bank, we didn't buy a single.
Because the legislature didn't dictate that. The legislator dictated these rules. We live under the rules dictated by the legislature. You can't keep throwing around constitutional duty without accurately defining what our constitutional duty is. You're wrong. You're dead wrong.
Well, I completely agree.
I'd like to address something historically
in
response to what you said a minute ago about we never did it before. I mean, I've been here long enough to know that we didn't do it before because we didn't have authority to do it before. And the staff of this commission, with my support as a board member at the time, did an evaluation of our land, which found it to be quite fragmented and scattered and problematic in terms of revenue production and cost of management. Therefore, we initiated and got total support for a land bank process that Brad has just outlined.
Unanimous, wasn't it?
Well, the bill was, there's a voice vote. That's typically what a voice vote. When a bill isn't contentious, it's on a Zoom calendar. That's why it's unanimous.
And so that then gave us the authority to begin to manage our asset, as you had said we are supposed to do, in a better way. And we've done progress, and this purchase falls in line with that, in my opinion. Thank you.
Well, one of the problems with that legislation in Act 352 in 2005 was that it says we can only buy land. I know that there's a bill that I encourage you to put it on the agenda that we, as a board, possibly consider supporting maybe at our next meeting, which I know the legislators sent them, just says we don't have to buy land. It gets rid of the word only. Then as commissioners, we would have the option to either buy land or not buy land. Right now, the money, the $3.5 million can only sit in a fund. And I think if that law stands, I think your point would be even more valid. But if we could change that one word, then
I would say this is a discussion out of
but I want to talk about
discussing that.
Well, but I want to quickly talk about the land. So we have 100 acres right here. And if you had your
permit
on what we're trying to block with, our 100 acres. There is a river that runs through it. So I guess my question is, you guys say that we're going to make this so that this land is all now legal access. How do they get their trucks, if they're doing timber cuts, on the eastern side of that river?
There's actually no timber on the eastern side.
Okay, so what you're saying to me is exactly what I already know, and this was in one of your other documents. This is it says productive versus unproductive land. If you look at that little, those 280-acre parcels or 50-acre parcels, the only productive land on there is in that bottom little left area, just probably 30 or 40 acres at most. So we're taking 30 acres that we're trying to make better by buying 1,000 acres.
That's not accurate.
But that 1,000 acres has very valuable assets that we will recover money for.
Well, Jonathan's point, and I read the article about the appraisal and saying we can get 200,000 cuts in X years or whatever, but that'd be like saying if I bought a home and there's a vacant lot next door and I bought it for $300,000 and the vacant lot is worth $50,000. Well, if I then sell it right away, we basically, if they cut this first, they won't sell it for $1.2 million. If they cut it first and take $300,000 of timber off it, then they sell it for $900,000. But I also have to question how it's even brought up. Why are we rushing to buy it? Even if we buy it, why do we have to buy it today? They put it for public sale in April. Okay, that's what I read in the appraisal, that April of 17th, so that's a few months ago. Jonathan and them have been working on this since March. So I guess I don't even understand how are we working on something that wasn't even publicly for sale, but that's a separate issue.
Well, I'll answer that. They didn't put it up for public sale until they agreed with us that they would sell a lesser parcel.
Okay, but beyond all that, my point being the value of the land is what somebody is willing to pay for it. So we don't know what somebody's willing to pay for this. We're just taking an appraisal, and we're basically paying the exact same appraisal day one, price for 1.19, and we're buying it for 11 grand less. Maybe it sits for 6 months or a year. I would like to get my assets, if I were to buy a home or a stock, I want to buy low, not buy high. If we let this thing sit 6 months, 8 months, maybe then nobody will buy it. And then they wouldn't want to sell it for 1.2. Maybe they'll take one, or maybe they'll take eight. We don't know. What's the rush?
I'm not sure that if American Timberland puts it up for sale to the general public, they're going to sell it in the same condition that they are willing to sell it to us.
It is for sale right now for $1.28 million. It's listed on the MLS. I've seen it.
Well,
so my question is...
But they're not going to have another buyer that wants... They may not have another buyer that wants to buy this whole thing. So they will parcel it out, but first take all the timber off.
But I guess my question is, we don't really know the value. We're buying it right away. We have one appraisal, so they have to say that's accurate. My point is, we aren't in a rush. We are not, you know, some people, if you sold your house, you've got to buy the next one, you maybe have to pay right away.
I'm getting close to calling the question.
Well, why can't we discuss that?
We only had one appraisal for the land that we're selling. We don't have any reason to not rely on this appraisal. They're not Siderwall, right?
Mm-hmm.
Siderwall, Compass Land Systems. There are two Siderwalls.
Okay.
One is Siderwall System, the other is Compass Land System. They're brothers.
I guess the only point I'm saying is we aren't in a position where we need to buy it. We could buy it in 6 months. We could buy it in a year.
You said that three times now.
I don't think I've said it three times. That would be at most the second. But my point is, why do we have to buy it right away? Why can't we let it sit and see? Maybe they'll take a lower price. If we got it for $800, that'd be...
I call the question.
I think that you're trying to cut off debate.
That cuts off debate.
Well, we have to have a vote on it. I think we should at least discuss this.
Mr. Treasurer, proceed.
I'm not going to speak forever on it. My position is pretty simple.
You're debating past the called question.
Yeah, I'm permitting it. I'm not going to walk away from this. Doug, I'm not going to walk away from this after not letting the issue be aired out. If we haven't purchased any land in 2.5 years, it is a big deal.
So you asked me to withdraw that motion, which I'm going to do.
I would appreciate
it. In respect to you.
Thank you.
But I will say, too, before I do that, that I'm not willing to put up with hours and hours of this repetitive.
We'll be voting.
That's fair.
Okay. I withdraw the motion to call.
Thank you.
I guess I'll make a few simple points here. I don't support it. You guys know my reasoning. I think we can wait. There's no reason to buy now. I'm not going to support it then either, but I think at least you'd have a better gauge of what the value is if we don't buy it right away. And this would be like buying a house that went on the market yesterday. You don't have to buy it. This is not a buyer's market. People aren't buying. How many people are buying 943 acres? I know Howard Markland and one of the finance committees, they voted against a stewardship purchase because they believe the prices are high. We don't really know. I understand we have an appraisal. I'm not saying the guy's not a good man and probably came up with it for a reasonable place. I'm only saying we don't know. I think if we could wait this out and you guys could buy it in a couple months, it would be a better deal. But
wasn't that stewardship purchase in the southern part of the state, though, Dane County or?
Dodge County. It doesn't matter.
A very different picture than
I mean, you know, when we did the last, we did one 2 years ago. We've only had two purchases we've discussed. We voted... You joined me, Attorney General, on that one and voting no. That time we were going to buy 160 acres to unlock the potential of 80. Even worse, to unlock about 80, we're buying 1,000.
No, it has nothing to do really with these 240 acres.
You want to buy land.
We're creating a large block of land that is not fragmented. And these two parcels add minimal value. We did a separate appraisal. They only had $32,000 of value to that land by getting access. That's nothing compared to this deal.
But so you want to buy the land. You just want the land.
We want a large block of contiguous land that we can efficiently manage and generate timber revenue off of and enjoy the benefit of the growth of the timber, its appreciated value, and enjoy the benefit of the appreciation of the land and the revenue stream. This is not blocking for 240s. This is blocking a large block.
Okay, but so that's about, so you want to just buy land in northern Wisconsin. I know many of the people are opposed to it. I'm conservative, and I'm opposed to that position. Doug obviously disagrees, and he has every right to. My only point is, I know almost every person I know over in that building, the Capitol, does not want to buy more land in Wisconsin. We own 20% as a state entity already between all the government. Buying more land is not what we want to do. We can put this money elsewhere. You guys have brought us in for VC. For example, you guys just sent an email saying Rich did a great job on some bonds. Okay, saw the email. Why couldn't we put this 1.1 there? Put it into another bond. Put it somewhere else. We don't have to buy land. I believe firmly we will make a lot more money if we buy through something else, stocks, bonds, other stuff. This, we're not getting the timber. You guys spend a ton managing it. I want to go into that. It's just, we're being, this is the first time we've talked about it. First of all, in regards to transparency, this was sent out on, I think, Thursday or Friday. So the general public has no clue about this. Why do we have to vote on it 3 days later?
It's actually sent out on Tuesday, but you're right. It's a very short time frame.
And nobody knows about it. I mean, now I've made some points. The point is, I know there's a Journal Sentinel or a State Journal article. I talked to Vicki McKenna yesterday. I'm opposed to this. And I can tell you what, the legislature gets a lot of press. Obviously, the Open Records last year, they did the thing in the 999. People like to know, even if you guys are going to support this, there's no reason we can't wait a month. I think if you wait a few months, you pick 3-4 months from now, you just pick a date, and you say, who else has bid on the land? If we wait 3 months and nobody's bid on the land, well, then why would we pay what we're going to pay? Lowball it. I want, whether it's a stock, bond, or whatever, a lot of money.
You're either intentionally ignoring the point or you're missing the point. This isn't about, it isn't about just the two parcels we have. Yeah. It's about the swap that we're also doing with the U.S. Forest
Service. Swap, that's completely separate. That has nothing to do with it.
It isn't completely separate because this is all part of creating one very large block of land, connecting up lands we own, but also making one larger parcel.
But this is the only one we're buying. So the question is, are we paying too much? We don't know that. I believe we are. You guys say you're not. I'm just saying the only way to know is if we let it sit a little while and see what the value of the land is. Nobody else is buying this. I guarantee you can get this for less than that. I don't know why.
We
don't have to buy this land, especially if we get rid of the word only. If we pass that, and I don't know why this board, Jonathan has said positive things about that LRB that I mentioned. If we pass that, immediately that $3.5 million in land bank could be moved over to bonds, stocks, loans, whatever. VC Capital, you wanted us to invest $5 million. Well, there's $3.5 right there.
Could you explain again the Forest Service land issue, that the larger block that that this would create? I think that point's getting missed.
The Forest Service and BCTL have been talking for about 4 years on taking some of the in-holdings that we have that are inside the Shawanigan Nicolet Forest and transferring them to the Forest Service. And the U.S. Forest Service has some outlying pieces that are next to our lands that are difficult for them to manage. And it just made sense for each side to trade those in-holdings or those outlying pieces to the other one so that the cost of management of their respective lands would go down.
We've been doing a little more than talking with the Forest Service. We're close to closure on this one.
And isn't some of that land connected here?
Yeah.
It will also allow us to get rid of some scattered parcels that are smaller in nature that are in holdings within Forest Service land. So it's hard for us to manage.
Well, to show I'm not completely unreasonable when it regards to the land, I've said those are fine. A swap is fine if it blocks our land better. The whole point is these are two little... This is already blocked, and if we get that, it's blocked. It's one big block, okay? We don't need this. Yes, it makes it bigger. We could also buy this up here. American Timberland owns that, too. This is all owned by American Timberland. My point is these two, why don't we try to sell that? First of all, the land that does have good land, the good trees on the bottom of what we currently hold, this is county land. So we can get through there because it's county to government. It's fine. So we can get at our parcel. Maybe it's not a legal access, but we're never going to have a problem getting to it. My only point is we have this big block over here. We don't have to buy more land. I mean, why not buy all of it? You just buy this whole duck, we can buy this whole page then. It's just, I don't know. I think I think we're overpaying. I don't think we have to buy the land. And the other thing is if we take the $3.5 million in this land bank fund, we can put it in other investments. I mean, if I were to ask Rich and Tom, what do you guys want to make on your stocks, bonds, and all that stuff? I'm assuming at least 5%. And we're just not going to make it. I'll make one kind of point at the end here. SWIB has done 7.2% over the last 20, 25 years. There's a simple thing you learn in, some of you people learn in grade school, high school, the rule of 72. So if you make 7.2% in 10 years, your money basically doubles, simple arithmetic. We could put this money, $1 million, $3.5 million in the account, in a, you know, spider stock fund, and it'll double, you know, as things go, like SWIB predicts, in 10 years. Is this land going to double? Is it going to be worth, we're buying it for 1.2, is it going to be worth 2.4? I doubt it. Because about 2000, you guys gave me a presentation.
I guarantee you pretty much for certain is that if we buy this, it'll be worth more in 10 years than it is today. And it'll also generate a pretty good rate of return in the timber management. So if you look at the tables on the bottom, the range is to a 15-year average, 3% annually to 7.7. And I think that's accurate. All of the data we have shows us. I don't believe that we're paying too much for the land. We got an appraisal. The buyer wanted more than what we're offering. And, you know, at the end of the day, the seller will parcel this out.
How many people are willing to buy this land right now?
I can't answer that because we have an offer.
I would imagine almost nobody. So, and if you keep worrying that if they're going to parcel it out, that's not our concern. If they do that, I'm not saying I'm pushing that, but that isn't, I'm not deciding our policy about making money at this board based on what a private company decides to do with their land. If they decide to do that and make more money for themselves, good for them. The question is, I'm telling you, every person, and I had short notice on this, I didn't really barely even get to work, I was out of town last week, and you guys knew that. I mean, here's, transparency, I'm going to ask this to the Attorney General. I am one of the last time we voted on this was a purchase was 2 years ago. And in that meeting, I said, I'd like to know about purchases plenty in advance, months. If I look at this, you all signed off on beginning to look into this on 3/31.
Right.
That's 4 months ago. Now, I think everybody in this room knows I'm opposed to this, but nobody told me about it. And I'm one of the commissioners, let alone the regular public, doesn't know about this. I can guarantee you that the vast majority of those members of the Assembly and the Senate have no clue what's going on over here. We're ramming this down for no reason. I'm not going to belabor the point too much. Obviously, Doug wants to get moving here, but I think even if you all just said in 6 months, if it's available, maybe we'll look at the price, we'll lower it. Then we at least know we got a better deal. We do not have to buy this land today. We don't need it. It's not like we sold our house and we need a house the next 2 weeks or we're going to be homeless. We don't need this.
So American Timberland's been trying to sell this land for several years now. They finally just agreed to sell it in a smaller portion.
That's right.
My response, Mr. Chair, to that is I think it's only a delaying technique. I think in 2 months or 3 months or 4 months, it's going to be the same as now. And I think the Treasurer is openly opposed to it, and we know that, so that's no surprise. So rather than allow it to possibly pass today, he hopes to delay it, and that's a typical political technique to stop something that you're opposed to. And I think that's not a bad thing. And things aren't going to change. It's just a delaying technique.
But, I mean, do we know what – I guess this is – it's such a large parcel. There's so few buyers at this category. I would imagine it would be maybe another type of company like American Timberlands. I don't know all the ones that exist. Or another government entity, which is the DNR of the county. Oh, nobody else wants it. So we're basically, I mean.
We do want it to create that larger parcel that loggers will charge, will offer a higher price. It will cost us, we'll be able to more effectively log all of our land connected nearby. You can make money off of this. How does timber compare to other assets or investments?
You know, our projections show that there's a lot of timber on this land that is worth a lot of money, and that we should earn between 3 and 8% depending on the value of the land increase, the appreciation of the land. Today, you know,
timber
on a 15...
Timber
as an asset class over the last 20 years has done extraordinarily well. The National Council for Real Estate Investment Fiduciaries is a well-renowned organization, and they do a quarterly survey of their members. And over the last 10 years, timber has gone up by over 5% annually. And over the last 30 years, it's gone up by almost 12% annually. We're not projecting that kind of increase in the future, but even without that type of appreciation, this is an investment.
I guess one thing you, the way you have to look at how the timber is managed is how we have our expenses. Other timber companies might do a better job, frankly. I mean, they probably do a better job. We spend on the normal school fund, which is your financial statement you sent to me, in 15, we spent $641,000, which is almost exclusively the land. That's exactly what all of our expenses were. You made in timber just under $400,000. That's a negative of $240,000.
We also have a $1.6 million backlog in timber sales already conducted.
But those will go on the next year. They haven't.
The usual two wet years to build that backlog.
But it hasn't happened. We don't know. We do know that we're spending more to manage the land than we bring in. And I'm telling you, the counties aren't doing that, private companies aren't doing that, but we are. And that's a whole separate argument. But to say we're going to make a fortune on this land, and one of the things you put in there, the appraisal guy wrote the years of the cords. I think the first year was the most expensive. I think it was 5,000 cords of maple or something, 218,000. Well, that's factored in the price. If they cut that tomorrow, well, then they would take off $218,000. So it's not like we're making it. It's a part. It'll be like a home, including, you know, appliances and furniture. It's factored in. We don't know. There's no way we can report to the legislature for sure. First of all, why isn't the DNR buying it? Why do we have to buy it? If it's such a great piece of land, let them go through that process. We're not for sure experts on any of this. I don't spend days
in
on
it. Again,
we have another owner intermingled in this.
If it's a state, it's the same thing.
Yeah, well,
the DNR and the BCPL aren't the same thing.
Well, they're not going to not let us go through the land. I mean, it's all state to state.
No one said we're going to make a fortune. I resent you saying that a minute ago.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all your side issues about timber.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom line, in my opinion, and why I will support this, is it's good land management. And one of our responsibilities is to be good land managers. And what the staff has been doing the last few years has been very positive. And this is one more example where between the trade and this purchase, we are managing our assets in a very responsible way.
I understand your point, but I'm saying the buying of the land only happened as of 10 years ago, whether it's constitutional or not. I've always said this, the technicality of because the legislature passed it and they have the authority to do it, I get that. I'm just saying it goes against what the mission, the one sentence says to sell the land. It's pretty clear in that regard. That's my argument. My point is they went 150 plus years, 1848 when this board was created, to 2005, never buying land. So we've only bought a little bit of land, 13 purchases. This is new in the history of the state.
Okay.
Well, most of it before your
time. In response to that, which I've already done once, historically, we were not allowed to buy land. We worked very hard with trade.
For good reason.
We were doing trade to the best of our ability before the land bank authority was given to us to make these consolidations and to improve our assets. And those trades sometimes were very possible to improve our assets. The land bank gave us the ability to do a better job in managing those assets, as you now know, Mr. Chairman. And we've been trying to do that, and this is one more step, as I said before. So I think we've probably aired most of the arguments.
Yeah, I've aired my arguments. I'm opposed to it.
I'm open to not being interrupted by the state treasurer, but to ask the attorney general for his input.
Well, when I first came into office, legislators from the Northwoods reached out to me and wanted my ear. They wanted to see the BCPL lands managed in a way that helped increase the forestry industry in the Northwoods. It will increase jobs up there.
Mm-hmm.
It will, and not just for people who cut down trees, but for the lumber mills, for the furniture manufacturers. I'll say honestly, the letter written by the six legislators that reached out in this letter, none of them live in counties where any forestry takes place,
mm-hmm.
other than what the municipal forestry department does to trim trees along Main Street. They don't know anything about what the legislators in the Northwoods want to see happen. Jonathan did go, and he didn't push this on anybody. He made himself available to those legislators to explain what we were up to and to answer their questions. And I'm not aware of any of those Northwoods legislators objecting to any of this because they want jobs for their constituents in the Northwoods. This helps create those jobs, and it helps make money for our beneficiaries at the same time, and it's a stable investment that isn't really subject to the gigantic market ebbs and flows that I don't think anybody can say we're done with.
Well, Brad, I think your point about the legislators supporting or not supporting it is a valid point, and these people obviously are both citizens, and I live up there, but they do represent, you know, constituents just like you and I do. My point with that is you could take the converse argument. Do we know of any legislator specifically that knows of this and supports it? Has any legislator, I mean, think about that. Could we get a single legislator to say, this is a good purchase? I haven't seen one. Why can't we even go 1 week and see if you can get a couple Republican legislators to say publicly, this is a good deal, I would say I'll vote no and be quiet. But I don't believe a single person thinks this is a good deal. I have not heard any legislator, and I mean, I'm out there as much as anybody on this topic. So can you think of anybody that, I haven't heard from a Democrat or a Republican saying this is a good deal. So it's the exact same argument you made.
I don't think Jonathan's at liberty to call out anybody on this.
Well, I wouldn't want him to.
And I think the political turmoil that you've been bringing around this, I'm not sure anybody would stick their head up because you haven't made it an honest debate, Mr. Treasurer. You haven't.
I believe I have. I mean, I'm putting it out there to the public, and you know, obviously one of the problems is we can't meet individually. So we have to have these meetings longer. I'm fine in public talking about it, but I think it's, even just on a fundamental, my ideological point of it is, I'm opposed to buying more land, period. And that's right. My position. Doug obviously is 100% different. You're the decider. I just...
Under current law, the only options we have for the money in our land bank account is to leave it sitting in an account that is earning virtually nothing, or buy other lands that meet the criteria set forth in the land bank statute.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those are our options right now. I know there's a bill that the legislature is considering, but conservatives have been in charge of the legislature for some time. They haven't passed this. You've been making this an issue for years. They haven't passed this.
Well, because they tried to do something
when
different.
When do we wait? How long do we wait for this to pass?
Well,
We work with the law as it exists. If the law changes, we will work with
that. So if that law gets rid of the word only, which Jonathan said is a good idea, I believe is a good idea, I would assume you guys would think that it's better to have our hands not tied. So if that passes, which if this board unanimously supports, I don't know why we wouldn't, I'm telling you, that's an easy bill. Nobody's going to have a problem with that. Nobody. So that would, we could get that passed probably in weeks. So my question is, then why wouldn't we pursue other options then? We don't know we're paying. I'm telling you.
We've gone through this.
All right. I mean,
this venture will make money. It is a stable asset that is not subject to the market ebbs and flows, and it makes the rest of our land more valuable.
Mm-hmm. Let me emphasize the Attorney General's point that I can remember for many years now. The timber industry in northern Wisconsin has had problems, and they have consistently, whenever we asked them, said that our land and the ability to purchase timber from our land is a fantastic benefit to them up there. And the more we can make that available in productive, groupings, is the best. And as Jonathan said in the very beginning of this discussion, they like to be able to do logging in land that is consolidated and easy to have access to. And I think
they give us more money.
Pardon me?
They pay us more money.
They pay us more money. So anyway, I
we can vote on it. I'm a no, so we can vote.
I resent that you have publicly characterized the only conservative option
mm-hmm.
could be to vote against buying this land. That's absolute hogwash. There is clearly a conservative interest in doing this that will increase the value of our assets and grow the school fund for our beneficiaries. So I resent that you have characterized it this way.
Mm-hmm.
If you have anything else, I'm sorry, Doug, but do you have anything else then? Okay.
On that point, I guess I'd say find another conservative that says this is a good idea to do. You're not going to find one. There's not going to be a single Republican legislator or statewide. I guarantee Governor Walker wouldn't support this, and he's a good conservative.
Okay.
You could buy it through the DNR right now if you wanted. So.
All right. I'll call the vote then. All in favor, say aye.
Aye, Doug.
Matt, I'll vote no.
Aye, Brad.
Well, in regard to this conversation, I'm going to reiterate my request. So I want from you all your communication with these legislators, particularly these six legislators who, out of the blue, have suddenly decided to intervene in our business. Thank you.
They have every right to send a letter.
I'm looking forward to getting that information from you. Pardon me. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Do we have any other future agenda items?
Oh, I guess I would ask that, and again, nobody seems to care what I think. Jonathan doesn't, at least.
This is on the agenda, Matt, too.
What's on the agenda?
Your LRB.
Oh, the LRB?
Yeah.
Well, I support it. I don't know. Is it a voting motion, or should you just put it on the
Well, it's not on, because it's in future agenda. It's not a voting motion.
I asked for it to have been put on, but that's fine. Most of the things I ask for don't. But I'm going to put it on the next agenda. I don't know why we wouldn't support it. It just gives us more latitude.
Could I say something to that?
Go right ahead.
I think conceptually it's a good idea to change the word shall to may. If we have a good land deal like this, this board can decide to buy it or not under the law that you're proposing to change. There are a couple of issues that probably need to be addressed. For one reason, the reason the word shall was in there was so that forest stewardship money could be used to buy land. You want to explain that, Tom?
Sure. When Speaker Jensen had first proposed that the DNR buy all BCPL land, bond counsel for the state said that you can't do that because of the fact that when you're issuing bonds for the state, they have to be for a legal purpose. And the stewardship bonds had always been issued to buy new land. And bond counsel said, you're not buying new land. You're having one agency buy from another. So they said that if the proceeds from the purchase, when the DNR would buy BCPL land, if those proceeds were used to buy other land, that would satisfy the requirement of using the bond proceeds to buy new land. Therefore, it became shall, and in fact, they developed a mechanism to make sure that that happens.
I'm not saying I would oppose this legislation. I think there's some merit in it. But I think there's going to be a couple tweaks that are going to be needed to make sure that we can capture the investment potential of the money that we have from the sale of land and perhaps preserve this ability to, on occasion, use stewardship money to buy land if the legislature so deems us wanting to do that. So a couple of tweaks might be necessary, but conceptually, I think this board will probably welcome a discussion on that. I certainly do.
Well, my concern is opening up the possibility, and I'm not the lawyer here, for somebody to get a hold of that money. And there's always people over there who want to get our money. They've been after it for years. And if this little pot of money suddenly had legal nuances that allowed them to get their hands on it, I'd be very concerned. But that I can discuss later.
I was trying to say, but then we moved on. I don't need it on an agenda necessarily. There was an article in the State Journal today where, Jonathan, you were commenting about me. I guess I would just ask, especially in the future, that I don't think that's a job duty, and I wouldn't want you to do it about Doug, Brad, or myself. I just don't think that's working for the children of the state of Wisconsin.
Say you've asked for it.
No.
The language you've used toward members of this staff here over time, the abuse you have heaped on them behind the scenes and in public.
What abuse?
You've asked for it.
What abuse?
Every person on this staff would confirm that it has been an abuse. You and the BCPL in general.
Well, Brad, that's because it's not. I think it's very clear that I want the land managed by somebody else, counties or the DNR. I understand it's logical, but it's logical that this is their job, that they wouldn't like that. I get that. And I've also said that a lot of our investments can be handled by SWIFT, which obviously would take away your duties. I understand they're not liking it that, but I have a right to push that. You may not agree with me. Doug doesn't agree with me.
Mr. Chair, I
can move on.
The Treasurer. I mean, he has a position that we've known for as long as we've known him.
We can move on.
He has a right to vote his position, but he doesn't have the right to harass our staff. And he's been harassing them and making it difficult for them to do the job that they are paid for and that this board has signed to them. And I urge him to quit, or I'll figure out, I'll bring to this board something, some way to sanction what he does. It's irresponsible to harass the staff.
Mr. Chairman, we'll move past respond to Matt because I don't disagree with what he said. The article today was unfortunate. It stemmed from an email I sent that I thought foolishly was private, but it was obtained, you know, and used. And I think I'll accept that criticism.
Well, and I guess Jonathan and I have a fine working relationship. We get along pretty well. I mean, we're going to have days where we're not getting along, but it's fine. And I think he's doing good. I'm sure there's plenty of people not happy with me, like you're probably not as well.
What percentage of the, you know, when we keep hearing this number that the government owns 20% of all lands in our state, what percentage do we own, BCPL? Does anybody know that?
I can calculate it pretty quickly.
Okay, we can do it after the meeting.
There are about 34.7 million acres of land in the state of Wisconsin. So if we...
77?
Yeah, 77,000 out of 34.7 million.
I think it's horribly misleading to keep talking about how much land the state owns when we are such a tiny piece of that.
We are a big player in a few counties up north where the timber industry is important.
And very much appreciated.
We're modest even compared to counties.
Yeah.
Or most counties.
Oneida County owns more land than we.
That's correct. We own more land than several counties, but there's a handful of counties that own a lot more land than we do.
0.2%.
Okay.
All right, are we on to executive report here?
Or yeah, executive secretary's report, Jonathan.
I think this meeting has been long enough.
Yeah.
Move on.
It's right there in front of you. The capital gains are now up to $8 million that we've achieved so far in 2017. 75% that's going into the smoothing funds of the two respective funds, and 25% is reserved for distribution in the earnings that go out this year.
Mm-hmm.
We're making good progress in those investments. And you did note that note I put out about Rich's.
I'm just going to note.
Oh, okay, you go ahead.
I wanted to end this on a high note today. Rich, it's absolutely an amazing accomplishment. Tell me again what would be the number out of
the all of the agency bonds that were sold thus far in 2017, Rich managed to buy 82% of the highest coupon bonds that were sold. And so the top five bonds in coupons inuring to the buyer, us, BCPL, were purchased by Rich Snyder. And that was not his study. That was the bond council or investment house that did that analysis and caught us both by surprise.
Yeah, it did.
I just can't believe that's dumb luck. I think that's...
Don't tell him that.
sure.
Thank you, sir.
I believe that's too remarkable a job at that to be dumb luck. Thank you and congratulations.
Thank you. I agree.
All right.
I move to... I make a motion to adjourn.
Yes, I second.
All right.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right.
Thank you.